Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
We look back at the top royal stories of the year, from Queen Elizabeth's death to Prince Harry and Meghan Markle's docuseries. Harry really went in on his strained relationship with his brother, Prince William. And we're taking a look at the royal kids' cutest moments.
I love seeing the first day of school. I can't imagine how nerve-wracking it must have been. Brand new school, brand new house, and just seeing them in their shorts ready to start the day. It was absolutely adorable.
And our top royal fashion moments.
Lots of polka dots. She wore them to Wimbledon. I mean, this was her polka dot year.
Polka dot year. I'm here for it. We've got that plus so much more in today's Royally Us. Hello to our fellow royal lovers and welcome to Royally Us. I'm Christina. That's Christine. I can't believe we have rounded up another year of royal news.
It feels unbelievable. Just as we've reflected on, as we're putting the show together, reflecting on this past year, I cannot believe how much has happened. All of the highs, all of the lows. We've really seen a lot of the royal family this last year.
We really have. And let's get right into it. We're taking a look back, like I said, at the top stories, from Queen Elizabeth's passing to the docuseries. But let's take a look back at Queen Elizabeth. Of course, she celebrated 70 years on the throne this year, making her the longest reigning British monarch. She celebrated her 96th birthday back in April. And while she was sidelined throughout the year due to mobility issues, in June, she did celebrate her platinum jubilee with quite the celebration. She had one final balcony shot featuring the core members of the British royal family, Prince Charles and Camilla, the Cambridges. And of course, we know now that this was her final balcony appearance. I know you were at the Jubilee. This was definitely a highlight of the year.
This was such a highlight of the year, such a historical moment. I remember the discussion being just at the moment, you know, at the time as she's standing on the balcony, people are saying, God, is this the last time that we will see this really iconic balcony appearance from Queen Elizabeth II? And it did, you know, a lot of people said after the Jubilee, this felt like a really macabre sort of farewell, but what a beautiful farewell it was. I mean, so much celebration, so much joy, jubilation, if you will. The crowds of people lining the streets, so many people just flocking into London to see the Queen, to celebrate, to wave at members of the royal family as they went past in their carriages. I just think it was such an incredible moment in history.
It really was. What a send-off. And that balcony shot was so monumental, too, because we didn't know if she was going to make the appearance. She had missed so many different events throughout the weekend, from the Thanksgiving Day service due to, you know, the mobility issues. So this was such a nice moment that a lot of people weren't expecting. And I'm sure it meant so much to so many people, and of course to the royal family as well. So that was really touching, a beautiful celebration. But it's hard to believe just 3 months after that, on September 8th, and 2 days after her final public appearance, Queen Elizabeth died. In a statement from Buckingham Palace at the time, it read that the Queen died peacefully at Balmoral Castle. And one day later, King Charles delivered his first speech as monarch when he addressed the nation and the Commonwealth from Buckingham Palace. Take a look.
To our family and to the family of nations you have served so diligently all these years, may flights of angels sing thee to thy rest.
Yeah, they had the, of course, the 10-day mourning period, which included, you know, Prince William, Princess Kate, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle reuniting together, greeting mourners on the walkabout. And on September 19th, the Queen was laid to rest alongside her husband, Prince Philip. I mean, This was quite the mourning period. So many different tributes from so many different people from all over the world. You saw people lining up for miles just to pay their respects, lining up for days too, and hours just to pay their respects. And we saw the royal family really come together, welcome leaders from all over the world for the funeral. And it was quite, like I said, quite the send off.
It was another just, this was hugely moving. I was in London at Buckingham Palace the day that she died. And I can't express to you how beautiful it was in a very somber way to see so many people coming together, floods of people pouring out of Green Park Station to lay flowers. The entire park, which is just grass, was all you could smell was lilies and flowers and roses as the floral tributes just piled and piled up. The Paddington Bears that were left out. I mean, it was really incredible to see so many people paying their respects. I think beautiful to see the family, the royal family out there thanking people for mourning with them. You know, Queen Elizabeth was not just, you know, Prince William's grandmother or King Charles's mother, but she was really a figurehead and she was important to so many people. Mm-hmm. And I think so many of us were moved by you know, so many things throughout the funeral and the mourning period, seeing the corgis. I think Emma, the Queen's fell pony with the headscarf on her saddle, was hugely emotional for so many of us. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the bagpiper slowly walking away as the Queen was lowered into St. George's Chapel. Just I'm emotional just remembering it. But again, like it's amazing to look back on something that's a historical moment that's going to be in history books. And we were sort of all a little bit a part of it.
Oh, yeah. No, it really was. It was a beautiful ceremony. And like you said, so many personal touches. And you also often forget that this is also a family in mourning. Of course, you know, we saw Princess Charlotte crying, you know, during the procession because, you know, she just lost her great grandmother. And it was nice seeing the royal family come together. I don't think anybody was expecting Meghan and Harry to walk out of the car next to Kate and William when they were greeting the mourners. But it was nice to see them put aside their differences for their grandmother, which is definitely what she would have wanted. Harry was able to wear his military uniform while standing guard, you know, with his grandmother as well, which was really nice. So it was nice to see everybody come together. And what a life. I mean, 96 years old, the longest reigning British monarch. And I mean, she did it with grace, and so many people approved of her and loved her and will remember her for forever.
I know. I'm emotional just thinking about that period of mourning. Mm-hmm. Everything we saw, like the standing vigil, not just of her children, but then her grandchildren all standing there, and the, you know, hundreds of thousands of mourners who waited in, you know, for 12, 16, 20 hours in the queue, right, next to David Beckham to say farewell to him. I mean, thinking back on that time, like that's history that we saw playing out in front of us. And it's such a beautiful tribute to someone who really dedicated her whole life to just improving, you know, the greater good, you know, improving the country and the Commonwealth for the people.
Definitely. And we are continuing to watch history unfold because, of course, Prince Charles immediately became King Charles following the death of the Queen. And in just several months, he addressed the Commonwealth. He has slimmed down the monarchy and he held his first state dinner. Of course, as for Camilla, many were shocked back in February when Queen Elizabeth named Camilla Queen Consort, writing in a statement, "And when in the fullness of time, my son Charles becomes king, I know you will give him and his wife Camilla the same support that you have given me. And it is my sincere wish that when the time comes, Camilla will be known as Queen Consort as she continues her own loyal service." But arguably the most talked about moment of the year for King Charles has to be the pen moment. Take a look.
Oh, God, I hate this.
Oh, look, it's going everywhere. Hang on. Is anybody got a pen?
Where is the pen?
Where is the pen?
We just had to throw that in there because it's just so funny.
I think it is so incredibly relatable. It's what's really lovely about him as a king is that he's in this really regal setting. He is the King of England, mm-hmm. and he can't get this bloody pen to work. You know, it's just, it's very relatable. just in that setting, I love that. I hope that video never stops being shared.
Oh my God, never, never. But, you know, they had so many highlights from this year as well. You know, they had a trip to Canada celebrating the Platinum Jubilee celebrate or the Queen's Jubilee celebrations. And that was a trip that I think a lot of people responded well to.
Yeah, it was hugely positive. Canadians are pretty strong monarchists, I think, and they like their new king. You know, they loved the queen, and it was great to have a royal tour have such positive feedback.
Yeah, definitely. Of course, they showed support for Ukraine throughout this year as well. He welcomed a new prime minister, and just recently he had his first state dinner, which saw us bringing out some tiaras for the first time in a long time.
I know. I love a tiara event. I thought this was great. It was a lot of pomp, a lot of ceremony. And even without Queen Elizabeth there, you still felt that royal magic that only a state dinner can provide.
Yeah, definitely. It was beautiful. But of course, this year was also met with some controversy. Recently, Lady Suzanne Hussey with Ngozi Fulani, you know, she resigned after making some racist comments to her. You know, they did sit down and have a conversation and an understanding, but, you know, it seems like he's been handling his, you know, at least time is a short time as king and handling this controversy swiftly and effectively.
You know, I think we've talked about it before. I think this was handled so well and really a sign of how the palace has changed and may continue to change. They did not sweep this under the rug. You know, they circled back about a week later and said that the two women sat down. They were able to, you know, share about their experience. Mrs. Fulani educated the Queen's former lady-in-waiting so that not only could Lady Susan Hussey learn from the experience, but everybody who heard this story now has learned from the experience. And that's really showing, I think, growth and change and modernization in the monarchy.
Definitely. Yeah. I'm sure we're going to be seeing even more changes as the months and years come. And of course, we have to look forward to May of 2023 when we have the coronation, which will, of course, be a huge, huge royal event. And their preparations are already well underway. Yes. All right. Well, let's move on over to the new Prince and Princess of Wales. The couple both turned 40 in 2022. They both released beautiful new portraits around that time. Of course, they had this controversial Caribbean tour. They headed to Boston, took on new titles. There's a lot going on. But of course, all those times they were honoring the Queen, and he did so at his Earthshot Awards. So take a look at this.
It's my hope the Earthshot legacy will continue to grow, helping our communities and our planet to thrive. And in the same way, the space effort 6 decades ago created jobs, boosted economies, and provided hope, so too can the solutions born of tonight's Earthshot Prize winners.
Yeah, so this year did not start off so great for the Prince and Princess of Wales with this Caribbean tour, which was criticized greatly and really put under a microscope. And it seemed like it changed the way that people look at royal tours.
Yeah, I mean, I think this will sort of change the blueprint for royal tours going forward, because I agree so much of what they did was just put under a microscope. And a lot of what was criticized was sort of, oh, well, we always did this on a royal tour. And now they have to look back and reflect and say, well, does this reflect the modern monarchy? Is this really the right thing to be doing, even though it's what's always been done? It was definitely a painful learning experience, I think. But as we saw later in this year, we just talked about, you know, they are learning, they are changing the way that things are done. But I think it was just, yeah, that tour, I think they'd rather forget it.
Yeah, I think so too. But they also made some big moves this year. They moved their family to Windsor, you know, closer to Windsor Castle, a more rural lifestyle. Growing up, the kids started a new school. So it seemed like, and it's closer to Kate's family. So it seems like this was a nice move for them.
Yep. I think that that was like a hugely down to earth family move, closer to Kate's family, all the cousins, even a lot of William's family is sort of closer to Windsor, Berkshire. And then on the other end of the spectrum, we saw so much glitz and glamour from the Top Gun Maverick movie premiere to all the way to the recent, you know, Earthshot Award dress, that bright green dress, the state dinner with the sparkling tiara, the pink, you know, there were so many. We'll talk about fashion later, but I think that they had so many sort of big red carpet events, if you will.
Oh, definitely. And they capped off this year by touring Boston, and it has been a long time since they have been in the United States. The last time they were in New York City. So they decided to take the Earthshot Awards to Boston. And it was a really great event. You know, of course, it was clouded by some controversy with Meghan and Harry's docuseries, the Lady Susan Hussey controversy. But it seems like they, you know, they came to Boston with a mission. They got it accomplished. He met with President Biden. They lit the city green and they had a beautiful Earthshot Award. So this is something that, of course, he is super passionate about. And it was nice to see him bring it over here.
Yep, totally agree. It was a good example of kind of keep calm and carrying on. There was all that controversy kind of flying around, but they, you know, kept their head on straight, carried on with what they were there to do, which was Earthshot and raising awareness for these sort of environmental projects throughout Boston, mm-hmm. and to kind of get to know the American people a little bit.
Definitely. All right. Well, while they may not be senior members of the royal family, Harry and Meghan sure know how to grab some headlines. They kicked off their year with a trip to the, or the, not their year, but they kicked off a big moment for them was when they traveled to the Invictus Games in April, where, of course, Harry gave this interview with Hoda Kotb. And he talked about a recent meeting that he had with Queen Elizabeth, saying he wanted to make sure she was protected by the right people. The couple made a trip to the UN in July after keeping a low profile during their trip to the Platinum Jubilee, but blew the lid off the royal family with their docuseries, Harry and Meghan. So they really, they had a lot to say, did a lot this year. You know, Meghan, of course, has a lot to say. She launched her podcast, Archetypes, which featured, you know, new guests every single week. So that got a lot of people talking. But of course, you know, this year, when you think of Harry and Meghan, you're going to think of this docuseries.
Yeah, I think it's so funny. So they did really try and keep a low profile for a lot of the year and then absolutely could not have had a bigger profile. I think the docuseries is really what people are going to remember. And that's unfortunate because they're not going to remember the work that they did, the Invictus Games, the UN. None of that is going to be all that memorable compared to this kind of gossipy, juicy Netflix series.
No, it's so true. And, you know, Harry really went in on his strained relationship with his brother, Prince William. It seems like that's like really the crux of the issue between the royal family. And it really just doesn't seem like they have a reconciliation in the future. I really don't see that happening. It seems like, you know, these are very divided family members, and it seems like that's what Harry wants to keep it like. And we're going to have to see what happens when he releases his book Spare in January in just a couple weeks. And I'm sure that's going to have a lot more bombshell revelations as well. So
yeah, we're being told that Meghan and Harry will be at the King's coronation in May, but I think we'll have to see what happens after his book is released. Is there any more sort of controversy to be revealed, or, you know, can we finally talk about mending bridges?
We'll see. All right. Well, let's, now that we've talked about our big stories of the year, let's talk what we love to talk about, fashion. And we've had some big royal looks of the year. You know, Princess Kate had these gorgeous, kicked off the year with these gorgeous 40th birthday portraits in this red dress. Her hair looked absolutely fantastic. I mean, what a way to kick off a year, and what a way to kick off 40.
Absolutely. I loved these portraits. It was really a unique way of looking at her. You know, we haven't really seen her in full blown princess vibes before. So I thought it was an amazing way to, I mean, I thought like 40 just looks so good on her. I cannot believe she's 40. But from a fashion perspective, you know, all these beautiful McQueen gowns, really grand, really trendy and over the top. I loved it.
And, you know, say what you will about the Caribbean tour, she did bring some great fashion to it, including this pink sequin dress, which she looked absolutely stunning in, and, you know, really showed off her new Caribbean tan, I guess.
Yeah, I loved this dress from The Vampire's Wife. It was shimmering and sparkling. It looked amazing and paired with the really sleek hair. It was such a modern look. The Caribbean tour also gave us a glimpse of Kate in vintage. You know, she wore quite a few vintage pieces, which was a really interesting new thing for her. We haven't seen her in a lot of vintage, right. But I think it opens the doors for so many opportunities. I'm just putting it out there that maybe some of the Queen or even Princess Diana's pieces would not go amiss in the future. Fingers crossed for next year.
That's definitely a good idea. And I love that she was rocking a lot of polka dots this year.
Yes, this was her polka dot year. We saw the black polka dot dress at Prince Philip's memorial service with that incredible My Fair Lady style hat, which was such, she looked beautiful. It was beautiful ensemble to pay tribute to Prince Philip. It was, you know, somber, but also playful. And then we saw almost sort of the exact look, but inverted with a white dress, brown polka dots at Ascot just a few months later. Lots of polka dots. She wore them to Wimbledon. I mean, this was her polka dot year.
Polka dot year. I'm here for it. And of course, she had some big red carpet moments like we talked about before at the Top Gun Maverick premiere with this beautiful off the shoulder black and white moment. And then, of course, at the Earthshot Awards where she wore a recycled rented dress, which, you know, we weren't expecting, but I'm totally here for it.
I know. I think that that was so great. Again, just showing that she's kind of, she's experimenting more. She's renting. She's wearing vintage. She's wearing really minimalist designs, like the off the shoulder look, all the way to sort of really over the top bold, you know, lime green gowns.
I love the lime green. And then we finally got our tiara moment. I know this wasn't the tiara that maybe you wanted to see, Christine, but still a tiara moment.
I know. We actually, I think we got two tiara moments this year, but the one that everyone remembers is the state reception with Queen Mary's Lovers Not Tiara and the floor length white Jenny Packham cape gown. So regal, so beautiful, just an incredible look.
Definitely. So many great other royal looks. And then, you know, of course, Queen Elizabeth as well. She looked stunning at the Platinum Jubilee and, you know, of course, her bright colors. And then we got our final portrait of her as well in this baby blue dress, which was absolutely beautiful too.
So many of our final memories of the Queen are these bright green coats and hats and really bright, vibrant colors. I love that the last photo of her, you know, sort of before she died, was her in a plaid skirt and cardigan. I mean, it was just very much her in her comfort zone. And then we received that beautiful Jubilee portrait in that sort of powdery blue dress. Really iconic, wonderful images to remember the Queen with.
Definitely. All right, well, let's move on to our royal kids. And as we wrap this up, and, you know, of course, they had some cute moments as well. Did you have a favorite?
I love seeing the first day of school. I can't imagine how nerve-wracking it must have been. Brand new school, brand new house, and just seeing them in their shorts ready to start the day. It was absolutely adorable.
I loved it. Mine went to Prince Louis at the Platinum Jubilee, covering his ears. You know, I lived for all of his facial expressions. I think that's maybe why they leave Louis at home now, but he really did steal the show. It was so cute.
It was so sweet. I think we really see his character, even in the recent Christmas card. You can sort of tell that he's a little bit silly and mischievous.
Yeah, definitely. And then we got our first real glimpses at Archie and Lily in the docuseries as well. So that was nice to see some behind the scenes footage of them and, you know, in their garden and, you know, bird watching with Harry. So it was nice to get a little behind the curtain look at what home life was like for them.
I know they were only small glimpses, but it was so nice to see them, you know, like on Archie's first birthday and Lily sort of taking little steps around. It's really special that they share that with us.
Definitely. All right. Well, that is it for this week's episode of Royally Us, counting down the best royal stories of the year. And Christine, thank you so much for recapping it with me each and every week. I couldn't do it without you.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been emotional looking back on this past.
It really has.
I can't believe it.
I cannot believe it. Well, please let us know your highs and lows of the royal family in the comments below. And we want to wish everybody a very happy new year. And we will see you in the new year for lots more big royal stories.